support in continuing to define the coalition process in the next few months as this goes forward. Oh, I've invited Linda, you know already. Linda is a board member from Southeast Uplift Coalition. Linda Bauer from East Portland, who is from East Portland Neighborhood Organization Coalition, Land Use Transportation Chair. Bill Barber, who is the Central Northeast Neighbors Outreach Manager, and Marianne Fitzgerald, who will have other comments, I believe, but she's here today to talk about the process from the standpoint of the Southwest Neighborhood Transportation Committee. So I'm going to leave and let them talk.
Coming up, Marianne. Sorry, Mayor.
Shall I go first? Okay, I'm Bill Barber. I'm the neighborhood planner at Central Northeast Neighbors, also known as CNN. I want to reiterate what Bonnie had said earlier about just the opportunity to be working with PDOT. I've worked as the neighborhood planner for about 4 months, and I've really seen a great deal of wisdom in the neighborhoods and the business associations, and also in the underrepresented groups in the community. For example, CNN is one of the most diverse groups in the city, if not the region or state. So we really look forward to working with you all. And I'll be really brief, just as an example of, I think, where things are working real well is 82nd Avenue Crash Corridor, which was just mentioned a moment ago. It's a great example of a lot of public outreach. Again, the neighborhood associations, the business associations really pitching in. So thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
Great, thank you. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald. I represent Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc., and I did provide a written copy of our testimony today. We represent 17 neighborhood associations and three business associations, and it's essentially the entire southwest quadrant of the city of Portland. As Commissioner Adams noted, we've got half of our arterials do not have sidewalks, which is half the inventory in the city. Over 40 miles of our streets are unpaved, and steep terrain, winding roads, lack of storm sewers, and clay soil make it very expensive. So between that and poor vegetation management, our streets are not safe for people to walk on or ride their bicycles or even access public transportation. Our citizens have spent many hours trying to identify our needs, and we do believe that the Safe, Sound, and Green Streets proposal does make the investments that we need to address the transportation deficiencies in Southwest Portland. This proposal adds much-needed funding to the transportation budget to pay for that investment, and it's more effective than any in recent memory in making progress towards meeting our needs in Southwest Portland. We do ask for accountability. Our board was very strongly asking for accountability in the process, and we want to make sure that it includes a provision for community involvement, as Bonnie noted earlier. We've suggested some language that could be added to the ordinance on the Oversight Committee, if you so choose, which would provide more input into the annual review process and allow an opportunity for comment on the list of projects and on the whole progress of the program. And we do feel very strongly that this citizen participation is needed in the annual review of the program. Finally, we just ask that you reinstate the neighborhood needs process so that neighborhoods, particularly the coalitions, are invited early on in the process so that we can provide input that prioritizes how the money is spent in our neighborhoods. Thanks for your time.
Linda Nedekoven again. Just a couple of other comments related to this notion of citizen processes. Wanted to let you know that in some of the coalitions, we're already collaborating very closely with the business associations, thanks to the city on both counts, from the neighborhood grants proposals and the APNBA grants. We've already had neighborhood representatives on APNBA committees and vice versa, and I think that there is a lot of infrastructure already in place that will enable us to play a constructive, appropriate role as advisors in making decisions about that $50,000 for each coalition area each year. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that.
Thank you.
That's it, really, I promise.
You just broke your promise.
Linda Bauer. I'm chair of the Pleasant Valley Neighborhood Association, but I am testifying for the East Portland District Coalition chairs, who unanimously endorsed the proposed process. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. That was worth it.
Okay. Is that it?
Invited.
Go ahead and call the first three and notify the second three. People will be limited to 2 minutes each.
Okay. The first three, please come on up, are Jeff Bernards, Kent Studebaker, and I believe it's Benjamin Duvet on Northeast Schuler. About Ken Calvia on Southwest Park.
Sam Adams left.
Could you read the next name, please?
Nielsen Abel.
Fire away.
Okay, and after them, I have Terry Parker, Pamela Akey, and Glenn Bridger.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name, and you each have 2 minutes.
Go first.
All right, my name's Jeff Bernards. I've been a business owner in Portland for 33 years. I went to a lot of the meetings, all phases of the meetings, to help develop this road maintenance fee program. And I feel like that road maintenance fee is a hidden property tax and a subsidy for continued car dependence. I moved closer to town to reduce my car dependence and utilize public transport and my bike. My house doesn't drive down the street. I feel like you always look at my house to as an ATM to cover state government's inability to act. Taxes are used to control behavior. This tax fee only hides the true costs of driving. This is the time. It's time for the people who drive to pay for the roads. I'm a single driver homeowner, but my neighbor who has four cars and four drivers pays the same, yet they use the road four times as much. With the nearly $500 a month that I'm currently paying in property taxes, I don't understand why you can't find $4.75 to put towards the roads. I don't think it's that much money to ask for. This is a little, the number one tax credit in Oregon is a pollution control tax credit for corporations to control point source pollution. Today, individuals produce the bulk of the pollution, like cars and stuff. That's what needs cleaning up. I'm not asking for a tax credit for riding my transit or my bike. I just want recognition of what I'm doing for the overall economy environment to be realized by providing alternative infrastructure. If you think cyclists are getting a free ride, get out of your car and enjoy the free ride. Riding transit or a bicycle is a big commitment of time and energy. If you pass this maintenance fee, you're only letting the legislatures off the hook for its lack of action on a gas tax. It's time the state legislatures passed a serious gas tax like the state of Washington did. Allowing our vital infrastructure to disintegrate by not raising the gas tax is totally irresponsible. Gas taxes have been fluctuating 10 cents a week, and I personally would hardly notice the 10 cents. I can choose to pay the tax. Visitors of Portland would also pay the tax when they come to visit Portland. And that's what also have the positive effect of people buying more fuel-efficient cars, driving less, or seeking alternative transportation for which we have one of the best systems, thanks to TriMet and PDOT. Is my 2 minutes up?
Yes.
I got more. Can I borrow a minute?
Your 2 minutes are up.
Okay.
My name is Kent Studebaker. I'm here representing NINA, the Northwest Industrial Neighborhood, and myself. And at NINA, we're pleased that you're getting involved in repairing and maintaining the roads, but our position is that this is a primary infrastructure program and that it should be paid for out of the current budget. And we believe there is money in that budget to take care of this. By making this proposal to pay for the roads and maintenance outside of the present budget, it appears to us that you're saying that the road and repair is not any more important than anything else in the present budget. And we think that it is. We think it's a basic governmental function to do this kind of road and repair. We do also believe the money is there. My understanding from the meetings I went to is that the budget, the estimated cost of doing this maintenance and repair is $26 to $45 million per year, at that time over a 10-year period. That is about 1%, $26 million is about 1% of the current budget, and that you could take care of this at the present 10-year period by taking that 1% out of the current budget. Additionally, there is the utility franchise tax. It's already been mentioned several times, and the money from that would be more than adequate to do the repairs costs that are projected on this thing. Assessing this tax is what it is just adding another onerous burden to the cost of doing business in Portland. It's happened on the stormwater management fee, which on my business anyway, started out, the bill was $70 per quarter. Now it's $1,200 per quarter. And I don't think that's unusual for any of the businesses in the Portland area. It adds an additional cost to the cost of doing business in here, and I think it makes it more likely that businesses will relocate elsewhere or may not even locate here, because after all, if they're here and there's an infrastructure problem, it appears the city is just going to add it to the water bill. I guess my time is up. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
My name is Nelson Nabil. I'm a resident of the Pearl District, and I'm here not to address any of the financial aspects or the structural aspects of this plan. I think that it's obviously a very good plan for the city to undertake. I'm here to point out one major flaw in the program, a flaw which I have pointed out in correspondence with the mayor's office and in private conversations with Commissioner Adams, and that flaw is the fact that the city of Portland, to protect the safety of the streets, pedestrians, and bicyclists, must act to remove, to make illegal the act of using a handheld telephone behind the drivers in the driver's seat. We should be leading, not in this action. It is one of the prime safety elements that will cost nothing to the city to do. And I want to point out that there are a number of states that have a statewide ban. The state of Connecticut, the state of New Jersey, the state of Utah, the District of Columbia, and miraculously, our neighbor to the north, the state of Washington, as of July 1st of this current year, has got a statewide ban on cell phones in the driver's hands. By jurisdiction, these following states allow municipalities and counties to ban cell phone use at the wheel: Illinois, Massachusetts, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. And as a 15-year resident of the Pearl District and an ardent pedestrian, I can tell you that it is one of the things this city needs to do, not only for the safety of its citizens, but for its quality of life. It isn't necessarily always the tragic statistic that we heard today of the PNCA student that was killed at Burnside and 14th. The quality of life issue goes to the near misses and the non-recorded interactions between vehicles and pedestrians and bicyclists. Get rid of the cell phones in the driver's hands. We've gone a long way in this town for safety of its citizens.
And as we discussed, Nelson, at the 24-hour fitness gym jacuzzi.
That's too much information.
Where this conversation occurred, the city is preempted from regulating cell phones.
Commissioner Adams,
by state law.
I recommend to the mayor and the commissioners of this city, take the action into your own hands and let the state of Oregon sue you after you've passed the ordinance.
Okay. Same on the studded tires.
Because this is an issue that
I understand, and believe me, we've had the discussion. It was in our legislative agenda, as you and I discussed. And
keep after. All I want is a commitment.
We will keep after. Thank you.
Next, please come Terry Parker, Pamela Ake from Nina, and Glenn Bridger. They'll be followed by Don Bach, Chris Smith, and Jim Gardner.
I'm uncomfortable.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me testify. My name is Terry Parker. I'm a lifelong resident and taxpayer in Portland. First, I'd like to say I find it interesting that the public's testimony is cut after a parade of witnesses that seem to have unlimited amount of time. The proposal before you today is a deceptive because It seems PDOT has plenty of money to build a proliferation of curb extensions costing $20,000 to $50,000 apiece and then not enough money to repave streets. It's an illogical backwards priority to create stop-and-go fuel-consuming traffic by making it difficult for trucks to maneuver, giving rise to buses obstructing traffic when stopping in travel lanes, and then spend more money to time signals as an attempt to remedy the congestion curb extensions create. On his website, Commissioner Adams lists using funds for a significant investment in bicycle network as the first key component, while repairing the arterials in poor condition as the last one. That seems to be deceptive because it appears that there are backroom deals, special interest deals made with the BTA and other lobbyists to fund bicycle infrastructure on the backs of taxpayers, yet another preferential treatment freebie pass here. The proposal is both biased and deceptive because a bicycle tax was stifled out of the public conversation, kept off the table at the meetings. Bicycle infrastructure is not a right, should be paid for by users. I'm going to jump to the last thing. How can you annually increase sewer rates, horrendously increase garbage rates, recycle rates, supporting adding this deceptive and discriminatory tax to utility bills, then sit around the table with a straight face and discuss how to achieve affordable housing? Utility bills are part of affordable housing. You need to remove the discount programs except for low-income people. Bicyclists need to pay for bicycle income tax. The city should not be a sugar daddy to bicyclists to pay for the tax. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Pamela Ake, and I'm representing the Northwest Industrial Neighborhood Association. And we have been very concerned about transportation issues which impact our business members. The Northwest Industrial Area depends heavily on all forms of transportation and freight mobility. Maintaining it and expanding the transportation infrastructure is core to a city, so therefore the city budget should include adequate monies for transportation as a high priority. Again, transportation systems support every activity of our citizenship. It's recreational, accessing government services, educational pursuance, and going to work each day. Every person, public sector and private sector entities, rely on the transportation system. Again, the great debate is whether Portland is friendly to businesses, whether it's incoming or retaining businesses. We continually get more fees added to our bottom line. People are talking about the $2 fees, the $4 fees. Well, in our neighborhood, we're talking $8,000 fees. We aren't talking $4 fees. We're talking $8,000 fees. And we do not support this. Nina does not support the Safe and Sound Street proposal. We do support a concerted effort to make our streets efficient and well-maintained and adequately meet the public needs. But we also are concerned about the utility franchise fee that we used to pay for Portland streets that no longer goes to Portland streets. And thank you for your time.
Commissioners, Mayor Potter. Don Bach, Hillsdale. I strongly support this initiative. It's been well vetted among a lot of people and strongly supported. I like particularly the provision that Sam read earlier about the citizens and business being heavily involved in the selection of projects. That's important. I'd like to suggest we add some kind of a provision for sweat equity where people get involved in actually doing some of these things. There's none of that in this so far. I'd like to see that put in some point in the future. One thing that strikes me, and when we got 20,000 car damage being done by one bus, there's ways of retrofitting buses so they wouldn't do so much damage. Let's get on that as well, because let's stop the problem at where it's causing it, and that buses are. I'd like now to take a couple minutes and talk about what's going to happen to us as individuals if we don't keep our streets up. I've traveled a lot in third world nations. My business took me there as timber and wood products. I've gotten a lot of back places. Typically, in those places, a Toyota will last 3 years. Another brand will last 1 year. People have to have constant alignments, tie rods, shocks, go to hell in a hell of a hurry. And the cost of this thing to me is $55 a month a year for the house, for my house. And that is like one alignment. You know, in perspective here, what we're talking about, and you can get into, well, we shouldn't allocate it or not, but potholes, You only have to hit one pothole and you need another alignment. And if we have a significant number of potholes, people then start dodging the potholes, and that makes them cause danger to other people. Now, there's a lot of built-in stuff here we don't think about because we've got it's still a pretty decent infrastructure. But if you take it to where at the extreme, where it starts going totally to hell, you know, end up with patches of pavement here and there, your velocities are increased, our CO2 and emissions will go up, and the vehicles do unexpected things. They'll dodge a pothole, they ran into you on the side or whatever. A lot of our safety is based on really good streets. We take that for granted, and I don't think we should. We need to really identify that as an important issue. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next is Chris Smith, Jim Gardner, and Betty Brilon. Brilon, thank you.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Chris Smith, and while I am an authorized representative for Portland Streetcar Citizen Advisory Committee, I'm not appearing on their behalf today. I'm speaking on my own behalf. I was one of the 89, and I will be brief because of time. People talk about government sticking to basics. Well, I can't imagine anything more basic than maintaining the assets that we all own together and keeping our streets safe. 3,000 casualties on our street system over 10 years is simply unacceptable. That we can address both maintenance and financial responsibility and safety in this package, and at the same time make the street system greener is excellent. I appreciate Commissioner Adams' leadership and the very inclusive and extensive process he's had, and urge you to strongly support it. Thank you.
Can I get your leftover minute? Mayor Potter, commissioners, for the past several months, I've represented Southwest Neighborhoods on the stakeholder committee that you've heard about. My first comment on this process really is that for not one day was that dull or predictable. From one meeting to the next, it seemed like the proposal would shift and change shape. Sources and amounts of revenue would be changed almost continually. A 10-year program? No, it's 15. You know, city gas tax? No, just the fee. Is this county here? No, but maybe. Some would say this was all a political game to find a combination that would get the most political support and the least opposition. I think there's a much less cynical way to look at that process. I believe it was a careful and evolving search for that combination of taxes that would be as fair as possible to be spent on projects that would solve as much as possible of the city's maintenance and safety problem. The stakeholders committee had a lot of points of view, and many of those were listened to, and the proposal was adjusted. I can enthusiastically support today's proposal because it does not follow a pattern that we in Southwest have seen for a long time, and that is that we've often been promised a lot more transportation help than we've actually received. My own neighborhood, in fact, was promised some South Portland circulation project 7 years ago, and when the tram was draped over us, that project was renewed about 5 years ago. Nothing has happened on then. The case has been convincingly made that Portland's transportation infrastructure is failing and that the current sources of revenue are not adequate to do the job. I strongly urge each of you to face this problem squarely and courageously. This proposal is not perfect, but it's good. Don't let the former be the enemy of the latter. Thank you.
My name is Betty Brilon, and I represent, as the chair, Elders in Action, and we strongly support this. As listening to the testimony today, I have some personal things that came to my mind. One of those is that in 1992, I was required by the Health Department of Multnomah County to have a car, and I drove all over the county every day. I bought a car that I think it cost me less than $10,000. And I was living in Vancouver, and that first year, my registration fee was $1,000. We understood that it was going for roads and city streets and things, and understand there's a difference in the way we fund government in this state, but having to pay that all the years that I lived over there, I really find it hard to understand why people would look at streets. For example, I was out on Airport Way the other day, and I spent 55 minutes in a traffic jam on Airport Way. And finally, my car was overheating, so I managed to turn it in a driveway and cool it off a bit. But I kept thinking about all the trucks and cars sitting there, and I waited until, this was about 4:45, it wasn't until 10 minutes to 7 that the traffic began to move freely. And look at the air pollution. That, to me, people's health is so important. Working for the health department, I saw that every day. And in my own case, I have COPD, and I'm restricted about walking and bicycling. I used to go mountain climbing. I can't do that anymore. And one more thing I want to say is thank you very much for the moratorium on SB 716. I parked here at 10 after 1 to be here for today, and I parked in a two-hour parking spot with my handicap tag. If I had to leave to go move my car, I wouldn't be here right now. So thank you very much for listening to us. We're seniors really, really need to have the safety of good transportation. Lots of our seniors are staying home because they're afraid to be out walking or even catching the bus. Thank you.
Thanks for your support, folks.
Next, we'll have Kathy Leathers, Paul Romaine, John Carroll. They'll be followed by David Anderson, Kim Carlson, and Glenn Zirkel.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is Kathy Leathers, and I represent Leathers Fuels, which is a family-owned business in the state of Oregon. I would have to say that I'm here today because our company would support a statewide gas tax, which we believe would be fair, but we cannot support a city street maintenance fee that does not treat, in our eyes, all folks equally. It gives advantages to the competitors that are just outside the city of Portland. Our business, which consists of gas stations and small convenience stores, works on a very, very slim margin. And any tax or fee that ends up being added to us is basically absorbed by us and not passed on to the consumer because, as I'm sure you all know, we're a very, very competitive industry. In fact, one of the only ones that has to post our prices on the street, so you see them every day. We also feel that it's not equitable in the fact that if I, say, own a business and also live in the city of Portland, I'm basically or essentially being taxed twice. So to put this kind of in perspective from our standpoint, we work on basically pennies in our industry, and one of the sites that we have, Commissioner Adams talked to me on Friday, and I said that I could not support this. By working on pennies at a site, and he was talking to me about an $80 fee, that $80 fee would amount to almost 0.2 cents to us at this one site. And in our industry, that's quite a bit. So if I could ask anything today, it would be that the council go back and really look at a fee or tax that would be equitable to all. In other words, from our standpoint, a tax that would eliminate the individual city and counties and look at the state as a whole. In fact, a statewide gas tax from our perspective. Thank you.
Good afternoon, or is it evening? I can't really tell yet. I'm Paul Romaine. I'm an attorney in Portland, and I represent the Oregon Petroleum Association. And we are in favor of a significant increase in the statewide gas tax. In fact, we've talked about 14 cents per gallon increase. We would support it. Again, for the same reasons that Ms. Leathers talked about, it goes across the board. It's fair. It's equitable. We pay it. We can pass it on, normal business expense, and there's no competitive advantage or disadvantage. One of your staff people earlier on talked about this is really a leadership issue, and she commended the commissioner, and I commend him for bringing the issue forward because it's about time. The problem is that there's been a lack of leadership since 1993 when the tax went up. You're not restricted to using gas taxes only for street maintenance. You can use anything in your budget, and you have chosen over the years to not go for street maintenance. Basically, where have you, the question really should be, have you spent your money wisely over the last 15 years? If roads are such a priority, why haven't you put more discretionary funds into those roads? You have a $34 million surplus in your budget right now. It's just in the paper. Why are we not talking about that going into road maintenance? This is just a new tax. In addition, the administrative costs of the new tax are high. Businesses, we need predictability about. The only thing we can predict out of this is it's going to go up 3.5% every year. Businesses are lucky if their profits remain even stable, let alone go up every year. The average pre-tax profit for a convenience store is about $2,700, a little more than $2,700. So all of these taxes, when you talk about $100 a month or $1,000 a year, those are very, very significant to little people, and we can't just keep coming in. Now, there was a parade of people, in fact, 2 hours of it, talking in support of this thing. If this, and if you all believe this is such a good thing for the people and that they will support it, send it out for a vote. Convince us, not just the few handpicked members of this committee. And in fact, the measure wouldn't go into effect. Even under your current measure, it doesn't go into effect to July. The vote is May 20th. Send it out to a vote of the people and have the people debate it rather than just running it through. Thank you.
So, Paul, I have a couple questions I need to ask because I was in the legislature in 1993, the last time the gas tax passed. I was in the 1995 session, the 1997 session, the 1999 session, and 2001 session when a coalition that I believe you were part of opposed any gas tax increases. So I'm a little curious how today you're sitting representing that you think this ought to be done on a statewide basis and then go down to Salem and then argue, well, we don't need a gas tax. You know, ODOT doesn't spend their money right. So you kill it down there, then you come back up here when we try to respond because we haven't had a rate increase since 1993 to do something to keep the bridges from falling into the river and to keep the potholes filled, to do something to try to synchronize the increasing number of bikers, of which I am reluctantly one, that try to live coexistence peacefully with automobiles on the street, and now you're sitting here saying, well, you know, the legislature ought to do it. I just feels like you want to have it both ways.
Commissioner Leonard, it's really a problem with old age, but memory is usually the second thing that goes. I did not start representing the Petroleum Association until after the 2001 session, so I was never part of any
but
kind
I said your organization. So your
organization.
Oregon Petroleum Association.
I have absolutely no idea where they were. All I know is since I've been representing
well,
I'm them.
I'm telling you that the Oregon Petroleum Association, with the along with the Coalition of the Oregon Truckers Association and other groups, I mean, you know this, you were there, fought the gas tax increase.
Commissioner Leonard, there is a coalition right now composed of AAA and the truckers who are supporting this. It's composed of big oil. It's composed of my group, which is little oil. We're the gas stations and the jobbers who are supporting the statewide effort. We are vigorously supporting it. We've been very public about it. We have said we will go for a 14-cent, and I can't be more specific,
on what
support.
Conditions?
The condition is that we don't have a local gas tax.
What other conditions?
That's
you just, if the legislature passes a 14.
That is it.
Every session I was there, the representatives from your organization fought a gas tax increase through 2001. I read in 2005, 2003, 2005, 2007 session, since I've been there, there has been a variety of other kinds of oppositions, including Senator Bruce Starr's efforts to increase the registration fee. He was limited to what he could do to just raise a certain amount to bond to do some maintenance projects to bridges and otherwise around the state. Also, been told that the Selwood Bridge that should have been on the list of items to be repaired was focused on by a group of lobbyists down there that were working on Bruce Starr's proposal to make sure the Selwood Bridge did not get on the list as punishment to Portland. On pretty good authority, I've been told that. So I guess I'm just sitting here listening. I mean, I haven't been involved in this process, other than to urge Sam to do what he's done to make sure he includes you and others and listen and try to compromise where he can. I worked very hard at that. But I just find it just a little hard, having my own experience in the legislature of if not you, your organization and the others that I alluded to, fighting vigorously every session any increase in the gas tax to the detriment of the safety of all the citizens of Oregon, but especially Portland, from the information I have, and now saying, well, now you want to go do a gas tax. And had that happened, we wouldn't be here. Nobody wants to be here doing this, but we have a responsibility to provide a certain level of service. And the other money you're talking about pays for police and fire and parks and efforts to try to get people back to work and homeless people off the streets. So, I mean, there's a lot of competition for the money that we have, and we try to spend it as wisely as we can. But I'm just looking for some kind of middle ground where I can believe that you really want to have this kind of unified approach to do something about the dangerous highways and bridges that are in this city, county, and state. And I just don't buy it.
Commissioner Leonard, ever since I took over this organization after 2001, actually lobbying for them, and we've subsequently in this last year just taken over as executive director of the Oregon Petroleum Association, but since 2001, we have been vigorous supporters of a gas tax increase. I have told the organization, and they have basically said that's what they want. We would support that. We have told that to every legislator who will listen. We have been vigorously trying to get it. We don't even want it phased in. We want it to happen immediately because, frankly, a phase-in is harder for us to deal with than an immediate one. The amount of increase from our perspective, can be up to 14 cents a gallon because that's how much below Washington State we are. So I can't be any more specific than that. In addition, because it is additional money, new money, the current formula for distribution would also be subject to negotiation. So if the cities got off of the let's just rely on ourselves, the state will never do anything mantra, and go out there and actually work with us to try and get something, perhaps as in Washington State, where the cities get, I think, 9 cents a gallon, there's no reason why the cities can't get 7, 9 cents a gallon. That's part of the negotiation process, as you well know. So don't hang me with things that happened during your old time. You can hang me for beer and wine taxes, Commissioner.
I never even brought up Hawaii. I mean, I'm not even mentioning that.
Yeah.
which would be a great place to be right now, as a matter of fact.
We don't want to talk about that stuff, do we?
No. But I'm telling you, I'm just talking about my experience in the legislature, and my experience is really different than how you're portraying what you're willing to do. What you're telling me is going to happen, I'll be the first to call you and say thank you. I really appreciate it. But I was so frustrated watching those debates and watching what I consider to be people who should be supporting an increase in the gas tax, fight it and kill it. And then, as I said, the effort, since you've had that organization as a client, the effort to actually, as I understand very accurately, make sure Selwood Bridge stayed off the list of those bridges that would be repaired with the money doesn't give me a lot of confidence next session. And I realize you're just a small part of a larger group of organizations that are interested in this, and you may or may not be able to dictate what ends up happening, but my experience is the city of Portland was left with the bridge that's on the verge of collapse because of some groups in the organizations that you work with saying we don't want Selwood Bridge on the list of bridges to be repaired, although it was the least had the smallest number on the scale of 1 to 100 of any of the bridges in the state of Oregon. It just kind of fries me a little bit to think of us paying, you know, the citizens of Portland paying because of the political machinations of what happens in Salem with an unsafe bridge. And if you're telling me that that's changed and you're focused on going down and make sure that we get a legitimate 14 cent a gallon increase, that's great news, but I'll believe it when I see it, Paul.
Commissioner Leonard, just one last comment because I've gone a little bit beyond the 2 minutes that have been allocated for this. But the bottom line is this. I know absolutely nothing about the Selwood Bridge controversy. Absolutely nothing.
And to be fair, it wasn't your organization. It was the Oregon Truckers Association. Right.
I have absolutely no idea why they would do that or what
the punishment
to
the city of Portland for being the city of Portland.
And I live in the city of Portland. I live 2 miles from right here. I love the city of Portland. I have never been part of anything like that. I would never. again on the gas tax. I don't know what I can do besides rip off my clothes and stand here naked, which is something you don't want me to do, to convince you
you're right.
That our organization has been trying. We tried in the 07 session to put together a coalition. It became very apparent, both from the Democrat and the Republican side, they both share the blame, nobody was going to move on a gas tax. The Democrats had just taken full control, did not want something coming out. The Republicans had just lost full control, were looking for a wonderful issue to go after the Democrats on if they put it out there. In 2009, we now have people convinced it's beyond, as Senator Metzger said in support of this proposal, there is going to be something that comes out. My job and the responsibility I've taken on is to basically try and convince those people who would normally listen to me on no taxes that this is something we absolutely need and we want, Gesundheit. But we, I don't know how else to
no,
tell
I,
you.
No, that's great news.
This proposal,
honestly, that's true.
This
that's
particular true. Proposal, because what you're talking about has absolutely nothing to do with this particular proposal except your motivations for doing it.
No.
And all we're saying is, if this is such a good proposal, send it out to the people and let them vote on it.
Commissioner Leonard, with all due respect, I got both your points.
But I'm not done.
I know, but maybe Paul should be. Maybe
I just wanted to make.
I'm going to start taking my clothes off.
I realize there's a larger discussion this is going to happen after this, and some of us want to make sure on the record we get some things clear. I think your point on the gas tax is fine, and it's actually great news. I hadn't heard it that clear before, so I appreciate hearing that. But that's my understanding as to why Commissioner Adams dropped the gas tax proposal from our plan, because of some commitment to next session address that issue. So that did, I mean, that this it is related to this proposal in that that's precisely why he was convinced to drop that part of this proposal.
And we applauded him, and we told him, I told Commissioner Adams to his face, that we would be supporting it. We will be supporting it. And frankly, if we don't support it or if it doesn't pass, I expect you to pass these local taxes. I absolutely do, because the state has its opportunity. But you have the perfect storm brewing, absolutely perfect storm brewing right now. I have never seen it. I've been around this process for a long time, and I have never seen it like it is today. Give it a chance to work out. Use some of your budget surplus to do what you need to do. But give it a chance to work out, and then if I'm wrong, and you know I've actually been wrong once or twice in the past, then go ahead and do what you need to do. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is John Carroll. I've been here for 2 hours and 50 minutes, and it's been the best one of the best times I've had. I've got to tell you, this has been inspirational. Just the conversation that you've had and the comments that have been made by the public. To answer just one quick blank question, what City of Portland is providing is leadership here, and I want to thank all of you in anticipation of a positive vote for this. Our community around the country is viewed very, very positively because of the quality of life, the commitment to its citizens, its sustainability, and its environment. And we're all talking about, it appears as though we're talking about tree hugging and crazy environment and a collection of those things. I am in 100% support of that, 1,000% support of it. But there's another component of this that we've not addressed, and I think it's a fallout. A direct result, a direct product of that is, and that's this is an economic engine. Around the country, we have a reputation for attracting businesses and we attracting citizens that want to come to a quality of life. And I think this is a further demonstration of our city making a commitment to make it safe and environmentally friendly. I cannot underscore that enough. My business is in the development, and one commitment I made 10 years ago is that I don't want to develop any more, build anything anymore in the suburbs, because the reality is you're not going to outrun the automobile. I think you ought to put density where the infrastructure is there, support it, and you're finding that people want to live downtown. And this is an excellent step forward, and I can commend you in advance of the vote. Thank you very much.
Thanks, folks.
I have some testimony from Richard Kosas and from Hansa. Can I just leave it there? He had to leave.
Next, please come up David Anderson, Kim Carlson, and Glenn Zirkel. They'll be followed by Richard Beadle, Nick Popnuck, And Michael Zacoit, you'll have to help me with the name, but on Southeast Sandy. Michael, thank you.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is David Anderson. I come here as a private citizen. Thank you, Mr. Potter and commissioners. I'm a homeowner in Portland. It's totally paid for out in Lentz. I ride a bicycle. I own a car. I'm here in support of more bicycle lanes, safer bicycle lanes, and I can give you all kinds of anecdotal evidence of unsafe drivers. You've heard them all before, so I won't. And just want to let you know that I support this proposal, and I'm willing to pay a couple extra dollars every month for in property tax for to support the proposal. And I hope to silence some people who think that bicyclists don't pay their way.
Good afternoon. My name is Kim Carlson. I live at 2442 Northwest Thurman Street. I represent the Northwest District Association Board and the NWDA Transportation Committee in support of the proposed Safe, Sound, and Green Streets plan to enhance and maintain our city's streets. The process for obtaining public input was open and inclusive at every step. Commissioner Adams and his staff clearly explained the current conditions, the consequences of delayed actions, the costs involved, and the many funding ideas proposed. They patiently listened to rooms full of neighbors attending 4 well-attended meetings in my neighborhood, and as we explored solutions and faced the fiscal reality of safe and sound streets throughout all of the city. Evidence of our input is embodied in the resulting proposal, and I believe it is for all Portland neighborhoods. In my 5 years of experience on the Transportation Committee, this public process is unmatched for its straightforward approach, thoroughness, and successful outreach efforts. As it should be, this is a City Council decision, and on behalf of the NWDA, I ask each of you to vote yes. Thanks.
My name is Glenn Zirkel. Good afternoon, Mayor Potter, commissioners of the committee. Thank you for allowing this public hearing on the matter of such importance as a $460 million new tax. It seems that a tax of this magnitude should register as an item to bring before the voters. If the city is as confident as it portrays itself about the need for more public transportation and safety funded by a tax of this magnitude, then my suggestion would be that you would submit it to the voters for their approval. The second thing that I've noticed about this particular proposal is there is a disproportionality to this tax that is rather astounding. If it's a transportation tax guised under the title of providing public safety, then why shouldn't the people who use the transportation avenues you are proposing pay for the use of that safety? I am not aware that bikes are paying any kind of a use fee. The disproportionality also exists in that this current proposal is unclear that it won't have the effect of large multinational businesses paying small amounts of tax and small, locally business operators paying large, unfair portions of the tax. The businesses located along the transportation corridors already pay property taxes, already pay TriMet taxes, already pay Portland City revenue taxes. The taxes go on and on. This tax is a transportation issue, and a statewide increase in the gas tax, which limits the use of the revenues for road use and upkeep, is the proper place to work for an increase. The enactment of a fair, broad-based gas tax increase at the state level would bring in far more money than the Band-Aid that this special interest tax proposes. The state gas tax generates more funding, it's the fairest tax to enact, and it's the most economical tax to administrate. Thank you for hearing our testimony.
Spokes.
And we have 9 more speakers. Richard Beadle, Nick Popnick, and Michael Z on Southeast Sandy. followed by Matthew Denton, Pat Wagner, and Ethan Dunham.
Could you read those first three names again?
Yes. Richard Beadle, Nick Popnik, and Michael Z. Okay, then Matthew Denton, Pat Wagner.
No, Pat.
Oh, okay.
And read the next name.
And Ethan Dunham. Thank you. Jefferson Smith. He's here.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
Okay. Mayor Tom Potter and City Commissioners, my name is Nick Popnik. I am formerly a candidate for mayor, and currently I'll be a candidate for Eric Sten's soon-to-be-vacant council seat. And I am here today to oppose the transportation tax. Now, I applaud the city's efforts, and especially the Portland Office of Transportation, for acknowledging the lack of funding set aside for maintenance of our transportation system. It is a serious problem, and maintaining existing infrastructure should be a top priority when the council makes budget decisions. However, proposing a new tax is not the answer to our problems. The Office of Transportation has a $142 million annual budget, and much of it is being spent on unnecessary projects, while critical transportation maintenance goes unfunded. I'm talking about pet projects like the $147 million Eastside Streetcar and the $45 million Burnside Cooch Couplet. The city needs to show taxpayers that they can use existing revenues wisely before they try to burden our families and local businesses with a $420 million tax. Now, the way I see it, there are four main reasons to oppose this tax. Number one, it puts an unfair, unnecessary burden on taxpayers. It is unacceptable to ask families to pay an additional tax for basic services while the government uses existing revenue streams for pet projects. Number two, it is bad for the economy. How do you expect our businesses to remain competitive if you keep saddling them with new taxes? Local businesses are the lifeblood of this city, and government should be looking for ways to make them more profitable instead of bleeding them dry. Number three, Portland's roads are part of a larger transportation system. It doesn't make sense to repair our roads and let the surrounding infrastructure crumble. We should work with leaders from around the state to find funding solutions that fix our entire transportation system, not just one segment. Number four, this fee is going to piss off taxpayers. You have not proven to the majority of taxpayers that this new fee is necessary. If the fee passes and residents and businesses see their utility bill spike, they're going to be angry. And it will severely limit our ability to pass more reasonable transportation funding measures in the future. No one is going to support Multnomah County's vehicle registration fee to fund the Selwood Bridge replacement or a modest increase in the statewide gas tax if they've still got a bad taste in their mouth from having the city cram this transportation tax down their throats. Thank you very much.
Pat Wagner, Vice Chair of the Linton Neighborhood Association. Northwest St. Helens Road, US 30, is a major freight route. It's a state highway. It cuts Linton, my community, in half. Most of the dollars spent on this proposal is spent on freight movement. Please realize every dollar spent on pedestrians and bicyclists is spent on freight movement. Every dollar spent on public transportation is dollars spent on freight movement because it gets cars off the highways. But it is also the money in this spent on communities and families. My and Linton's bottom line is life. I hope you will support this proposal. In usual Sam Adams style, this proposal is fair. It's very fair. This is probably the last time I'll see you all together as a city council. I want you to know that it's been an honor to know and be acquainted with each and every one of you. So thank you.
I don't have to leave.
Please support this proposal. I think.
Jefferson Smith, East Portland resident. Three things to say. First is thank you to Commissioner Adams and others. I'm pleased that Commissioner Adams didn't recognize it was an election year, nor did his staff. Or at least they recognized that he wasn't running for re-election, so it wasn't a concern. But I think showing this kind of courage is what we need, frankly, and is a reason why folks like me would support candidates, not why we'd run away. Second thing I'd say is my primary concern as an East Portland resident. I grew up in inner Northeast Portland, and some of the challenges that we're facing those neighborhoods when I lived there are now facing neighborhoods where I'm living now. And I blame myself. I think they're probably following me. But I would ask people to look at their little maps, which are very handy. And if you look at east of 82nd, which is the line marked 22, the red line marked 22 on the right-hand portion, the eastern portion of the map, you'll notice that east of that, there aren't very many blue and purple lines. Blue and purple lines represent where paving resources are going. And the reason that there aren't a lot of blue and purple lines is because the arterials in those neighborhoods are in general good condition. And so the methodology that is being used to deal with only the very worst of the arterials aren't applying paving resources east of 82nd. And I would say that looking at the methodology to see if there are ways that paving resources can get spent east of 82nd would be a valuable thing, either by, as Commissioner Adams has suggested, an expansive view of the definition of arterial, and or looking at historically underserved communities and seeing how we can lower the threshold a little bit for where we can invest paving resources. The third thing in my last 17 seconds, after hearing Brother Romain, my impression is the bargaining position of this body and of this city will be improved by its activity on a local sales tax rather than hurt if it decides to act rather than wait for the legislature. I am quite confident that there will be strong energy to preempt anything that localities ought do. My impression is that is in part because localities are willing to act, and localities should not necessarily wait for such action.
Thank you.
And our last three are Lynn Lehrbach, Matthew Piccio, and Wayne Lund. Oh, Lynn did? Okay. Bill Barber? Oh, okay. Matthew, why don't you go ahead, too. And Bill, go on up.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is Matthew Denton. I live in North Portland. Currently, there's grass growing out of the street in front of my house. It's paved, but it's cracked, and there's grass growing out, and it's actually fairly green right now. But I don't want it repaved because it slows the cars down in front of my house. There's several problems in the long term that we need to look at. The population in Portland is going to grow. The land in Portland is not. Cars take up a lot of room. There's climate change. Cars emit a lot of CO2. There's peak oil. We won't be able to fuel the cars. People still need a way to get around. One easy, quick, cheap way to get around is bicycles. In fact, I ride my bicycle almost everywhere. 58% of the population of the city would ride the bicycle if it was safer. But for instance, about 6 months ago, my sister called me as she was riding the MAX train up interstate, and she asked me if I was still alive, and I was like, yeah, I am. And she told me, oh, there was a bicyclist hit right there. And I'm like, oh. And that's the problem. Right now, bicyclists die fairly regularly. We can make the streets safe. We haven't done it yet. This proposal goes a long ways to do that. So I'm totally in favor of the safety improvements of this proposal. I think those are great. We need to do that. And I'm willing to pay for it. I see no problem paying $4.75 or whatever, especially if it keeps me alive, you know. I pay more than that for health insurance in case, you know, I get wounded. So thank you.
My name is Matthew Piccio. I'm a Portland resident. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to address you today. I moved to Portland from Detroit, Michigan in March of 2000, but I first visited Portland in 1987. I was immediately impressed with the city's livability and transportation options. I've got a lot of options here that I wouldn't have in Detroit. Furthermore, Detroit's transportation decisions caused irreparable damage to many of its neighborhoods. The decisions of far-sighted planners in Portland prevented the relocation or destruction of communities that occurred over the past 40 years in many other cities, where mobility took precedence over community. Their decisions also facilitated the wonderful multimodal transportation system that we have here today. Safe, sound, and green streets addresses the very real need to maintain our existing transportation infrastructure. More importantly, however, it addresses the need to maintain and enhance community by providing families with safe means to get to work, go to school, patronize local businesses, or enjoy a weekend in the park. People want safe neighborhoods. We want to know that the city